The Guardian.
So I got off the field, go into my room, check my messages. In fact, I was at the hotel. I mean, at the ground, I checked my message. And a friend of mine SMS'd me and he said to me, listen, there's a big thing back home. One of the commentators called you a terrorist. And I thought he was kidding. I genuinely thought he was just kidding. So I sent him back, you know, I stopped messing around. I was going unusual stuff. And then when I went down for supper, the old manager came and said, you know, this is the story. And he said to the enjoy, he said, so-and-so thing. So it's going to be, there's going to be a lot of questions, and CSA have all released a statement and things like that. I said, yeah, cool. So when I got back to my room after that, which must have been around quarter to 10, I can't remember exactly. I remember getting a call in the room. It was Dean Jones, and then he just apologized. And I said, yeah, no problem. That was the end of the thing for me, really. And I thought that was the end of the story. But obviously, there's a lot more implications for him involved. I mean, there was a lot of media when I got back home. And I think coming from South Africa, which is very sensitive to kind of stereotyping and I don't know if you want to call it, I don't think it's racial. I don't know what category it falls under, but very sensitive to that kind of stereotyping. So it was a big thing back home. And I think it was a lot of, I mean, it was a lesson for everybody. I mean, whoever has hidden stereotypes. I remember Dean said to me when he apologized, you know, sorry, mate, I didn't mean for it to come out on air and things like that. So, okay. But nonetheless, Islam has, the teaching of Islam has always been that somebody apologizes, you forgive them. And this is the basis of Islam. So, you know, it doesn't make a really big issue after that.
But I mean, inwardly, you must have felt when he made that comment that he wished he hadn't said it on air. The point is that he should not have said it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure.
Or even thought it.
Well, as I said, it was a lesson for everybody. Whoever has, we all have some sort of inward prejudices that we need to address and recognize that, you know what, we need to address it and perhaps get rid of it. And whether it be of color, of race, religion, I think if we all want to develop into good people and perhaps develop as a humanity, I think we have to address.
I think the way you handled it with diplomacy and dignity was perfect, but inwardly, it must have hurt a little bit.
I think it did. When somebody calls you something, it's never a nice thing. I mean, you don't say thank you, sure, man. That's not the thing to do. I mean, that's not how you feel. So initially, yeah. But you know, when the guy apologizes, although the way he apologized, you know, if a person's remorseful for something that he did, then who is to judge except Almighty? I mean, there's very few people who don't know or haven't heard of Islam, even if it's by a simple name, or Muslim. Very few people. Whether they understand it or not is probably a whole different story. But the fact that they know, it may prompt more people to understand it, actually. Yeah. They want to know, well, really, what is Islam? So when they make an effort to find out really what Islam is, and really what being a Muslim is, entails, I think they'll find that a lot of their prejudices will be certainly blown away, without a doubt. So if that is the prevailing mindset of people wherever they are, if it prompts them to understand Islam from the pure Muslim, the pure source, then I think they would perhaps be more enlightened than anything else.
Do you find that back home, that sort of knee jerk, oh well, you must be a, you know, Al-Qaeda sympathizer, all that kind of nonsense?
No, I haven't encountered. I think only if you encounter people who kind of directly confront you with it, but I haven't encountered any of that.
And back home, do you think also, you know, people, the beard, has it made, help people perhaps, because you've explained quite eloquently why you have the beard, and has it, do you think it's helping people to understand more about Islam?
Well, I think it is. I mean, I get a lot of questions asking me, of people asking, you know, why do I keep a beard? You know, when I try and take, when I take off time for to say my prayers, like, what are you saying in your prayer? I love it when guys ask me, really, when anybody asks me. I think, you know, to share knowledge is a duty amongst everybody, to increase understanding from any source. You just got to keep developing, I feel. So when guys ask me, I'm more than happy to.
So answer. My understanding is that the beard should be, is it a fist length?
Fist length.
Yeah, yeah. And would you say most of the people in, like, Ahmed, does he have a beard?
No, he doesn't have a beard.
So you just feel it's much more a personal tribute to Islam?
Yeah, you know, the beard is actually not purely a tribute, I would say, to Islam, in inverted commas. Because the beard, if you go back many years, the beard is a tribute to all the faiths of the biblical Abraham, or as Muslims say, Ibrahim.
Yeah, sure.
So in the Christian tradition, you find that Jesus, peace be upon him, he had a beard. and in the Jewish tradition, you find Moses had a beard.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that Muhammad, who Muslims believe as the final messenger, he kept a beard because it was a tradition of all the other messengers we were before him. And certainly, Muslims see that if these are the messengers of God, then sure, then God wouldn't instruct them to do something that would be displeasing to him. So as a Muslim, we don't see the beard purely as an Islamic thing. We see it as a very universal thing.
For more discussion and analysis, download Guardian Daily. That's The Guardian's news podcast, available first thing in the morning, Monday to Friday.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.